Luke, in the first five chapters of his Gospel, has already shown the Saviour's great power over the demons, over disease, and even over the animal creation in the miraculous catch of the fish that we read of in the opening verses of this chapter 5. Now he's going to show us the Lord's power over the most dreaded disease of the first century, that of leprosy. You know, I find it fascinating that the Bible never speaks of people being healed of leprosy. Maybe you've never thought of that. It never speaks of someone being healed of leprosy. Rather, it always says they've been cleansed of leprosy. In verse 12, we read, the leper says to the Lord, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Christ responds in verse 13 by saying, I will, be thou clean. Notice some other texts, Luke 4:27, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, save in Naaman the Syrian. Luke 7:22, then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now we might ask the question, well, why? Why was that? Surely leprosy is a disease. We all would agree it was a disease. Why don't we read of people being healed of leprosy? Well, I believe the reason for that is that leprosy was always intended by God to picture something else that we need to be cleansed of. And what is that? That is our sin. That is our sin. We need to be cleansed from our sin. And in the book of Leviticus 16, the verse 30, we read, for on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Psalm 52 and 51, verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, leprosy is a type. It's a picture. It's an illustration of sin. And then the story of the leper coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to be cleansed of his leprosy. There's some powerful spiritual lessons about each of us tonight that we can learn how that we need to be cleansed of our sin. Be thou clean. Christ's words to the leper is the title of my message tonight. Be thou clean. What do you notice, firstly, the condition of this leper? The condition. What condition was he found in? Well, we notice that he was unclean. Leviticus 13:3 says that if a person is found to have leprosy, the priest was to pronounce him unclean. And from that moment on, he was religiously and ceremonially defiled. He could not worship in the tabernacle or the temple because he was unclean. And friends, tonight, that is exactly how our holy and righteous God views the sinner. They are unclean. They're dirty, they're filthy, they're polluted in his sight. Job 15:15. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints, yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. You think of that statement. Man that drinketh iniquity like water. Don't we live in such an age? Don't we live in such an age when men and women and young people are involved in sin and they're just drinking up like water? Society around us it's got so wicked, so depraved. It's hardly unrecognizable. This past 5 years, a total change. Total falling away, total depravity that's come upon us, that drinketh iniquity like water. See, the leper was unclean. In Ezekiel 36:25, the Lord promises that he will cleanse you all from your filthiness and from your idols. The sin of the condition of leprosy was an unclean condition. It is a filthy condition. And so too the sinner tonight, in the eyes of a holy and righteous God, men and women and boys and girls are filthy. They're unclean. Although you might look fine to one another, it might seem fine to yourself, but in the sight of a holy God, a righteous God, man is filthy, man is unclean. Notice something else about this leper. He was repulsive. Notice that according to verse 12, this man was full of leprosy. In other words, he was covered with it. It wasn't just a little spot here and there, but he was covered with it. He had not just contracted this disease, but rather he was in the final stages of his leprosy. Now, what did a leper look like in the final stages of leprosy? Well, Numbers 12 tells us. Remember Miriam? How Miriam had been given leprosy as a judgment of God because she had spoken against Moses. Aaron, he cries out to Moses and he said, "Let her not be as a dead one, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." People in Moses' day described leprosy as a person whose flesh is half eaten away. Repulsive sight. You imagine that sight? Their flesh nearly dripping off them. A stench. What a sight that would have been. And my friend tonight, if you're still in your sin, in God's eyes you are repulsive in that sense because of your sin. How does Isaiah describe the sinful condition of man? Isaiah 1 and verse 5. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even on to the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. What a picture that is of the sinner tonight. The New Testament commentator William Barclay has written on leprosy. He said the whole appearance of the face is changed till the man loses his human appearance and looks, as the ancients said, like a lion. You imagine a lion, how their skin is loose and hanging off them. The nodules grow larger and larger. They ulcerate. From then there comes a foul discharge. The eyebrows fall out. The eyes become staring. The voice becomes hoarse. The breath wheezes because of the ulceration of the vocal cords. The hands and the feet always ulcerate. Slowly the sufferer becomes a mass of unulcerated growths, and the average course of the disease is 9 years. And it ends in mental decay and ultimately death. The sufferer becomes utterly repulsive, both to himself and to others. And what a picture that is of the sinner. A man was in Israel on a tour 1 year, and he spoke about what he saw as he encountered a group of lepers many, many years ago. And he wrote, "As I was approaching Jerusalem, I was startled by the sudden apparition of a crowd of lepers, without eyes, without nose, without hair, without everything. They held up their handless arms. Unearthly sounds gurgled through their throats, without palates. In a word, I was horrified." I'm sure you've often heard Dr. Bill Woods even speak of his life in Brazil among the lepers and those sights that he saw. A leprosy, an awful disease, an unclean disease, a repulsive disease. My friend tonight, sin may look attractive to you, but it is repulsive to a holy and righteous God. Remember that God does not look on the outward appearance. You would say, "Well, I don't look like a leper. My flesh hasn't fallen off me. I look fine from the outward appearance." But God does not look on the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. Oh man, he's worried with the outward appearance. We see that today. That's why there's so much emphasis on exercise and jogging and going to the gyms and health clubs and going to beauty salons and all the latest fashions of the day. Men and women are worried about their outward appearance, but less so about the heart. You see, despite how well you may look tonight, and we all look well in this meeting, but despite that, what does your heart look like? What does your heart look like? That's what God is looking at tonight. He's looking at your heart. And if you're still in your sins, God is looking at a heart that is ugly and repulsive and dirty. Do you see, there's nothing in us to attract us to God? If God ever draws near to us, it's not because he sees anything beautiful in us. Rather, it's because of his mercy upon us. Something else about the condition of this leper. He was unfeeling. For centuries, people thought that leprosy caused the rotting away of the tissue in the body. But in the mid-19th century, Dr. Paul Brand made the monumental discovery that leprosy, also called Hansen's disease, is really the loss of sensation to pain, which causes the sufferers susceptible to injury. Listen to what Dr. Brand has written. Hansen's disease, or leprosy, is cruel, but not at all the way other diseases are. It primarily acts as an anesthetic, numbing the pain cells of the hands, the feet, the nose, the ears, and the eyes. Not so bad, really, one might think. Most diseases are feared because of their pain. So what makes a painless disease so horrible? Hansen's disease, numbing quality, is precisely the reason such fabled destruction and decay of tissue occurs. For thousands of years, people thought that leprosy caused the ulcers on hands and feet and face, which eventually led to rotting flesh and loss of limbs. But mainly through Dr. Brand's research, it has been established that in 99% of the cases, leprosy only numbs the extremities. The destruction follows solely because the warning system of pain is gone. So how does the decay happen? Well, in the villages of Africa and Asia, a person with leprosy has been known to reach directly into a charcoal fire to retrieve a drop potato, and nothing in his body told him not to do so. Patients at Dr. Brand's hospital in India would work all day gripping a shovel with a protruding nail, or extinguish a burning wick with their bare hands, or walk on splintered glass. And watching them, Dr. Brand began to formulate his radical theory that leprosy was chiefly anesthetic and only indirectly a destroyer. On one occasion, he noted, he tried to open a door of a little storeroom, but the rusty padlock would not yield. A patient, an undersized, malnourished 10-year-old boy, approached him saying, "Let me try, doctor." And he offered and reached for the key, and with a quick jerk of his hand, he turned the key in the lock, and Brand was dumbfounded. He opened the lock. How could this 10-year-old youngster out-exert him? His eyes soon were drawn to the boy's hand as blood dripped from his hand. And as he looked at the boy's fingers, Brand discovered the act of turning that key had gashed a finger open to the bone. Skin, fat, and joint were all exposed. Yet the young boy was completely unaware of it. To him, the sensation of cutting his finger to the bone was no different from picking up a stone or turning a coin in his pocket. You know, folks, the Bible tells us that sin makes a person unfeeling as well. You see, we're told that God, when he saves a person, he takes away that stony heart and he gives us a heart of flesh, a heart with feeling. And the sinner, in their sin, do not recognize the harm they're doing to themselves by their sin. They have no feeling. Paul speaks of having their conscience seared with a hot iron. He speaks of the blindness of men's hearts who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And sin hardens the heart. Sin hardens the heart towards God. You think of Pharaoh. Time after time, he hardened his heart. Plague after plague, he hardened his heart and hardened his heart towards God until finally, like that, God cut him off. What about you, dear sinner? Have you hardened your heart to the gospel? Well, maybe you've sat here for years. You've heard the gospel time after time, time after time. And maybe there was a time in your life when your conscience was pricked. And as you heard it preached, you realized, you know, there's something in that. You started to think upon your sin, but you rejected it. And time after time, you've rejected it. And now maybe tonight you can sit here and it doesn't cost you a thought. It doesn't cost you a thought. Your heart's hardened. You're unfeeling towards it. Just like the leper. Could put his hand in the fire. Could put his hand on the nail. Didn't feel a thing. Didn't cost him a thought. Is that how you feel to the gospel tonight? Well, I pray don't harden your heart. Lest God should cut you off in your sin. Notice something else about the leper. About his condition. He was alienated. He was alienated. One of the most horrible things about leprosy was that it cut a person off from his friends and his loved ones. He was contagious, so that he had to live outside the camp, either alone or with other lepers. He couldn't hold his children. He couldn't embrace his wife. He couldn't enjoy those tender moments of fellowship with his family around the dinner table. Can you imagine the emotional pain? In fact, the law prescribed that he must wear torn clothing. He had to uncover his head and cover his lips, and he had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," whenever he approached people. Similarly, this is exactly what sin does to a person. It brings alienation into his life. Primary alienation from God. Separation from God. Isaiah 59, verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Oh, dear sinner, tonight, unless you find a remedy for your sin, you'll be separated from God from all eternity in a lost sinner's hell. You see, it was sin that drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, and man has been separated from God ever since, just like the leper. Your sin has separated you from your Creator. And the only way you can have that fellowship, the only way you can be reconciled to God, is through Christ alone. Notice something else about his condition. He was incurable. He was incurable. In the ancient world, leprosy was an incurable disease. God, yes, may have brought miraculous healings on some occasions. You think of Naaman in 2 Kings 5, that being the most common story we know of, and how the little Jewish maid told him that there was a prophet in Israel that could cure him of his leprosy. What did the king of Aram do? He sent a letter to the king of Israel, along with silver, along with gold, along with 10 changes of clothes, asking the king of Israel to cure Naaman of his leprosy. Remember the words of the king of Israel when he read the letter? He said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy?" See, in other words, there was no cure. It was incurable, and the king of Israel, he recognized this, that he couldn't cure leprosy. Nobody could. It was an incurable disease. Man could not cure it. And you know, tonight, sin is exactly the same. It's impossible for man to cure sin. It's impossible for a man and a woman to save themselves from their sin. Remember the rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus? When the Lord told him he must sell everything and give it to the poor, and come and follow him, he went away sad because he wasn't willing to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord turned to his disciples and said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Remember the disciples' response? They said, "Who then can be saved?" The Lord said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." See, it is impossible for you, dear sinner, to save yourself tonight. It's impossible for you to cure yourself of your disease of sin. But praise God, there is one who can save you. There's one who can rescue you. There's one who can redeem you. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The condition of the leper. Notice, secondly, the conduct of the leper. The conduct of the leper. Notice how he became convinced of his desperate situation. This man knew he was a leper, and he knew that he was in advanced stages of his leprosy. Why else would he fall on his face and beg the Lord to make him clean? He besought the Lord, he begged him. You know, before a man will ever be saved, before a person can ever be saved, you must be convinced. You must be totally convinced of your desperate situation, that you are a sinner, that you are lost, that you're helpless and hopeless to do anything about to save yourself. You must be convinced of that. Christ said that is the reason he would send the Holy Spirit into the world, to convict the world of sin. You see, men are sinners. Men are bound for hell, but sadly tonight they are not convinced of it. If you were to make a story of their life, if you were to record their daily lives, they go about it, they're self-centered, they're greedy, they're lustful, they're proud, resentful people. We all are. By nature, we're sinners. We live for ourselves. We worship ourselves. But yet, if you ask man tonight, are they a good person? They'll say, yes, I'm a good person. I deserve to go to heaven. I'm a good person. You see, they're blind to their own condition. Until you realize that of yourself, you're nothing. Of yourself, you are wicked. You're depraved. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Until you are like this leper and are convinced of that, you can never be saved. You need to be convinced of your sin. And lost sinners are blind to their desperate, sinful condition. They're blind to the glory of Christ. As long as you excuse your sin or rationalize your sin or try to justify your sin, you will stay in your sin. And you'll eventually die in your sin. And you'll spend eternity in hell because of your sin. Becoming a Christian means that we come to become clean before God. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28 and 13. This man was convinced of his great need. Notice also that he came to Jesus. Where do we find this event taking place? Luke 5 and 12 says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Notice that. When the Lord was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. But what was a leper doing in the city? The lepers weren't allowed in the city. They were forbidden to be around non-leprous people. He was banned from the city. And that's why Luke says, behold. In other words, look at this. This is extraordinary. This should never be happening. A leper never went into a city. So why is he here? Why is he coming to Jesus? It's because he's desperate. He's absolutely desperate. He's determined to do anything he has to do in order to get to Christ, including breaking the Jewish laws about leprosy. Friends, you'll never be saved until you're willing to do anything you can to get to Christ. Until you forsake your sin. Until you forsake your family if need be. Until you forsake your friends. Until you forsake all that holds you in your sin. You'll never be saved. You have to forsake it all and follow him. You have to leave it all behind. A man who comes to Christ must be willing to give up everything. To give up everything. You can't hold on to any of your sin. You can't hold on to some little sin that you think it's okay. You have to give it all. You have to be willing to repent. You have to be willing to turn your back on it. You have to be willing to exercise self-denial and leave it all behind. He came to Christ. This leper knew this. His one and only hope was that the Lord might cleanse him. And our one and only hope of ever being saved from sin is that Christ might cleanse us. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Notice something else here. He cast himself on the Lord's mercy. This leper knew he had no rights. He knew he could make no demands on the Savior. His only hope was that the Lord would have mercy upon him, in spite of the fact that he did not deserve that mercy. And that's how salvation works tonight, my friend. It's all of God's mercy. It's all of God's grace. None of us deserve it. None of us. None of us have a claim on God. None of us can demand it of God. If we're ever to be saved, it's only because God will have mercy upon us. Remember the story the Lord told of the Pharisee and the publican who went up to the temple to pray? Remember the Pharisee, "Lord, I thank thee, not as other men, as extortioners, adulterers, and so forth." The publican, him standing afar off, wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but rather smote his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." What was he doing? He has cast himself. He's cast himself at the Lord's mercy. And what was his result? Christ said, this man, this publican, this sinner who cast himself at the Lord's mercy went down to his house justified. He was forgiven. He was saved. He was cleansed. But certainly not because he was better than anyone else. He was saved because he cast himself on God's mercy. Notice also this leper. humble himself as a beggar. Take a look at this leper. He fell on his face and besought the Lord. He besought him. That word besought, it means to beg. It means to beg. And you know the reason so many people are not Christians tonight in the sense is that they're proud. They're too proud. They're proud of their life. That they won't humble themselves. That they won't beg in a sense. They're too proud to beg. And folks, you can't buy salvation. You will never earn salvation. You can't buy salvation. You see, it doesn't take any humility to buy something. But it takes a lot of humility to beg. And you must become humble. You must become like that beggar. You must fall at Christ's feet and beg him for mercy. And this poor leper, he begged him. He besought him. He besought him. He realized that he was poor. He realized that he was penniless. He realized that he had nothing. His flesh was falling off him. His clothes were tattered. He smelled foul. He was just an outcast. An outcast of society. He had nothing to offer, and neither do we tonight. We have nothing to offer Christ. We're spiritually bankrupt. We have absolutely nothing. We have no righteousness to recommend ourselves to him. Nothing to earn salvation. We're totally destitute of anything that we could give to God that would put him into our debt. No. No, if you're to be saved tonight, you need to come like a beggar. Just humbly cry out to him. Because his gift of salvation is free. It's free. Oh, have you ever come as a poor, humble beggar? The Lord said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Get rid of your pride. Get rid of your self-righteousness. Come humbly. Fall before him. Notice something else he did. He exercised faith in the power of Christ. Look at this leper's faith. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And this leper had no doubt heard about the Savior. He'd heard about how he'd turned the water into wine, how he'd cast out demons, how he'd healed the nobleman's son and all the rest. His fame was spread far and wide, we're told. Everyone was hearing about the Lord and this miracle worker who came to Galilee. And this leper knew there was no help for him anywhere else. He was without hope. This was his only hope. And he just didn't know if the Lord would be willing. It's the same today, isn't it? If we're saved, we must have faith in Christ. We must believe that he's able. The leper believed he was able, but he wasn't sure if he was willing. But praise God tonight, he is willing. He is willing. For he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's willing. Tonight he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Tonight he says, come. He's offering you salvation. He's urging you to come. He's calling you to come to him. He will not turn you away. He will accept you. He will cleanse you. He will free you from your sin. He will give you a new life. Notice finally the cleansing of the leper. The cleansing of the leper. We see here the Savior and how he touched him personally. We have no idea, friends, how shocking this would have been to touch a leper. It just didn't happen. It was unheard of. You did not touch a leper. You just didn't do it. If you did, you were in danger of contracting that deadly disease. It was so contagious, you did not go near them, far less touch them. And here the Lord comes along and he touches him. He doesn't turn up his nose in disgust with this leper, as I'm sure many did. Instead, he intentionally stretched out his hand and touched him. And dear Christian tonight, I think there's a lesson there for us, even in that. You know, even as we walk about this city and other places, how often have we looked upon the down and out, been lying in the public and public house door, maybe drunk, maybe begging on the side of the street, and we're like the people who walk by, actually walk across the other side of the street to avoid them. I'm guilty of it myself. We wouldn't go near them. Maybe turn up our nose at them self-righteously. Think of the compassion of the Savior here on this poor leper. He touched him. He loved him. He had compassion on him. He wanted to see him cleansed. Do we want to see people healed from their sin, cleansed from their sin? Here the Lord became unclean himself in a sense, but in the process he gave the leper healing. Oh, what a picture of the cross. What a picture how Christ became sin for us. He identified with us in our filth. He identified with us in our depravity and our defilement. He didn't remain at a distance with a turned up nose. Instead, he deliberately stretched out his hand and he touched us. And tonight, dear sinner, he's still stretching out his hand. He's still willing to save. He's willing to give you his righteousness. He's willing to clothe you and take away those torn and filthy garments of the leper, of your sin, and willing to clothe you with the robe of his righteousness to make you right. Notice here, the Lord cleansed him instantly. We read, immediately the leprosy departed from him. It didn't depart gradually over a few months. You see what a picture that is of salvation. We're saved in an instant. We can't work towards our salvation. Sadly, again, many people think they can work their way to heaven. They can earn salvation. They can work. And the Roman Catholic Church is a prime example. They believe in a sense that you have faith in God, but you also add works, and the two come together to work and work and work. And if you do enough, you'll earn salvation. But this man immediately, his leprosy left him. In an instant, he was saved. He was born again by the Spirit of God in an instant, right away. Tonight, dear friend, you can leave this meeting totally transformed, totally changed. You can be born again where you sit. This very moment, if you cry out to the Lord, repent of your sin and cry out to him for mercy, he will save you. He will cleanse you. Oh, my friends, have you ever seen yourself like this leper? Unclean, repulsive, unfeeling, alienated, incurable. Oh, if you see yourself that way this evening, come to Christ for cleansing. Come to him as a humble beggar. Come casting yourself on God's mercy. Come exercising your faith in Christ as a great Savior, the only Savior. He said, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He'll not turn you away. Oh, come. Come tonight and be saved, and praise God, he's still in the life-changing, soul-saving business. Oh, if he's dealing with your heart, if he's dealing with your heart tonight, you need to know that you do not have to live in your sin for a moment longer. You can be saved right now. Don't put it off. Don't delay. If God is speaking, this may be your last opportunity. You know, I was just thinking this afternoon, Tuesday's funeral will be the sixth funeral that I will have attended since I've come here. Will yours be the next? Will yours be the next? See, we're not promised another opportunity. We're not promised another opportunity, friend. The Bible tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't delay. Don't wait till next week or the week after. Come now. Come like a poor, humble beggar, like that poor leper. Cry out to the Lord, and he will have mercy. He will hear your cry, and he will save you. And you can leave this meeting a new creature, totally cleansed, your sin forgiven, peace with God, acceptance of God, and assured a home in heaven. Will you come this evening? Pray that you will. In our Saviour's name.